Well, Shabbat Shalom. We're glad you're with us tonight. We started a little late. We had some technical difficulties to work out, but we're glad you're here. I'm Dr. Todd Baker, pastor of Shalom Shalom Congregation here in Dallas, Texas. We meet every Shabbat evening, Friday evening at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. You can join us live on my Facebook page or our YouTube page at Berit Chadashah. Subscribe to our YouTube page if you can. And we meet, as I said, every Friday evening at the Northwest Bible Church in the Christian Life Center building, third floor, room 301. Address is 8505 Douglas Avenue, Dallas, Texas, zip 75231. We'd love for you to come. If you do want to become a member, then we ask that you examine our doctrinal statement on our website at toddbaker.org or searchthescriptures.online.org and agree to that, and you can be a member. The reason why we have that kind of doctrinal filter is because we've had to deal with people coming in here bringing aberrant doctrine, heresy, and serious error, and they did not want to be corrected. So we have that. Plus, you know, people need to be rooted and grounded in the historical essentials of the Judeo-Christian faith. We're glad we're with you. You're with us tonight. We're going to do part two of our 56th Gospel Outreach to Israel presentation. And before we do that quickly, I'm happy to announce that our 57th Gospel Outreach is set. It is in the docket, folks. We will be going back from March 24th to April 6th, and praise God, that will be our first gospel outreach for the year 2025. Our 56th gospel outreach we just completed a couple weeks ago was the last of the two outreaches for the 2024 year. And if you want to learn more about each of these outreaches, what happens, how the Lord leads us to share the gospel with the Jewish and Arab people in Israel, then you can check out our quarterly newsletter, Search the Scriptures. I hold in my hand the fall 2024 edition, and this is selective encounters we had in our March 2024 outreach, which was the 55th gospel outreach. In our winter spring edition coming up probably in the next month and a half to 2 months, we will relate to you stories about this outreach we recently completed in March from our 56th Gospel Outreach. Folks, each of these outreaches is not financially guaranteed. It's because of your faithful support throughout the months and the years and the days that allow us to continue to obey the great commission Jesus gave the church in the Gospels and the divine order of evangelism that is part and parcel of the Great Commission. That is that the Gospel should go to the Jew first, Romans 1:16. We're one of the only few ministries slash churches that takes Romans 1:16 seriously by going to the Jew first. This is the same format that the Lord Jesus followed in Matthew chapters 10 and 15. He went to the Jews first. But as I told you in part one of our presentation, there was one day in the Galilee where all day, all we did, the Lord led us to Arabs for the whole day. So don't think when we say to the Jew first that, oh, well, you're just negating the Gentile world, starting with the Arabs. No, we're not. We've actually been falsely accused of that, by the way, because we emphasize to the Jew first in accordance and obedience to Romans 1:16. Not true at all. We go to the Jew first, but we also go to other people groups, mainly the Arab peoples in Israel. And among the Arabs, you have the nominal Christians and the Muslims, and we minister to both. And so praise the Lord. The gospel is no respecter of persons. The only thing God respects is saving faith. Amen. Saving faith. And we've made it a point in print and to our Arab and Jewish audience that God, died to save both people groups alike. And that's not to say that God doesn't have a special plan as a nation for the Jewish people. He does. But that doesn't mean that he neglects the rest of lost humanity. He sent his son to save people from every tribe, kindred, tongue, and nation, starting in and with Israel and the Jewish people. Amen. So if you would like to get our free quarterly newsletter, you can go to toddbaker.org. Or you can go to searchthescriptureonline.org. It all goes to the same ministry website. We do need your support, folks. I took a step of faith in May of this year to go full-time, and I've actually had job offers to get out of this full-time, and I just didn't feel right in my spirit to do that. I felt like, no, I need to believe God for this. He's called me to go full-time again, and that's what I'm doing, and that's what we will do. So thank you for your support, and we do need more support. We're not by any means have a surplus of money lying around so we can, you know, buy luxury homes and items and then say God is blessing us to make us rich, which is not biblical for the believer by and large. But we do manage. The Lord provides just enough for us to get by. I call it the George Mueller principle. And I won't get into what I mean by that. You search it out yourself. And but God does supply our needs according to His riches and glory, and He uses His own people. So if you would like to support us, you can click on that donate link there below the title of tonight's message, and it will take you to our secure encrypted donate link where you can make a tax-deductible donation. So please continue to support us, and those who have supported us, don't forget to continue to support us. All right, well, let's get into this. So we are back with our gospel presentation to Israel about our 56th outreach. And so we'll get right into it. We were running late, so let's get this done. So on the day that we left the beautiful Galilee for Jerusalem, the city of the great king, by the way, Matthew 5:35, on that day we left Galilee for Jerusalem was the Sabbath. And on that day we go and minister to the employees at the natural parks in Israel, because the natural parks are always open on the Sabbath. When we did these outreaches for over a decade, we would always struggle trying to find somebody to minister on the Sabbath because it was a ghost town wherever you went. And then one day we discovered, we went into a national park, and they told us, oh yeah, the national parks are all open on the Shabbat so that Jewish families can go there and visit. And then the light bulb went off in our minds. So on the Sabbath day, we should focus on going to the national parks and minister to the people there. So this on that day that we left Galilee for Jerusalem was no different. August and I visited Belvoir National Park. Belvoir National Park is a park where there was a Crusader fortress built there, and it's pretty much one of the best medieval Crusader forts that's standing in the world, and let alone the Middle East now. Belvoir is French for beautiful view, and it lives up to its name because it's on a high ridge overlooking the valley leading to the Jordan. So we went to Belvoir National Park, where we spoke with Priya right here. She was a secularist, and Lucy, a Russian Jew, and accompanying me on this trip, of course, is Dr. Aris Rosado. So he and I, we witnessed to them, and our witness emphasized that God's covenants with Israel, revealed in the scriptures of both testaments, assure and promise the protection and preservation of God forever. We went on to tell them Yeshua came as the prophesied Messiah offer eternal life to the house of Israel via the Brit Hadashah, the new covenant, Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34, John 3:16. And we told them, both Priya and Lucy, to read the Hebrew Bibles, to know God sent the Messiah, Yeshua, His Son, to bring eternal life to those who believe in Him. For this, starting in Israel with the Jews first, John 4:22, Mark 1:16. Both ladies graciously accepted complete Hebrew Bibles with gospel tracts to confirm what we spoke to them was true and indeed the Word of God for salvation. So then, moving on, when we finally arrived at our hotel, and this is a fortress built by the Crusaders in the, I'm trying to remember which century it was. I think it was the 14th century. But it's, we took pictures of it. And look at the view there, folks. That is a beautiful view, isn't it? And the masons who built these stones carved images in, various images into stones that they set in place to build this Crusader fortress. There's the moat. And then we stopped at, I forgot the Arabic name for it, but the Arabic name means Castle of the Jew. And this is the area where John the Baptist baptized people in the Jordan River. It's called Bethabara in the Gospel of John. This is the actual location. So they have a baptismal location in Northern Galilee. That's not where Jesus was baptized. He was baptized here, folks. And on this side, you have the nation of Israel. And on the other side, it's Jordan. And you can't see it in the photograph here. There's an Orthodox church up the hill. But that is the Jordan River. It's really a stream more than a river, but so much history in the Bible concerning the Jordan River. And that's on our way to Jerusalem. You're looking at the Mount of Ascension. See the sunburst there? Absolutely gorgeous. All right, so we left and the Galilee and came to Jerusalem. And when we finally arrived at our hotel in Jerusalem, we met a familiar acquaintance we knew from previous visits at that hotel, Dima. She is a young Arab worker at the hotel. Eventually, our discussion with her led to August and I telling her about the teaching and meaning of what Jesus taught about being spiritually born again from above, John 3:1-8. We told her that this new birth that we must have to be saved and enter into God's kingdom comes about not by denomination, church attendance, having communion, or being water baptized, but by trust and belief in the death of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and his resurrection from the dead to give eternal life. John 3:16, Romans 10:9-10. Dima understood our biblical witness. And to reinforce the truth we spoke to her, she also accepted a copy of the scriptures and an Arab gospel tract detailing the life of Jesus the Messiah and how she can be saved with eternal life by trusting in him alone. A lot of the Arabs over there, if they're not Muslim, they are Christian. I'm not being uncharitable when I put that in air quotes because like so many in America, many of them are nominal Christians. Christians in name only. They've never really experienced the new birth as Jesus taught in John 3. So there we go. All right. Our gospel ministry the next day took August, Rosado, and myself to the old city of Jerusalem and the Mamilla Mall. But before we left for these destinations, we decided to visit an old Arab friend that works in our hotel. We've known him for almost 10 years. And it occurred to us that we had not shared the gospel with him yet. Sin of omission, right? His name is Hanini. He was extremely open to our gospel presentation of what the Lord Jesus did at his death and resurrection for Hanini's salvation. And he, like so many others, God has opened up to receive a Hebrew Bible and Arabic gospel tract to better know the way of salvation. So then we left our hotel after that good gospel witness, and we arrived and walked the outside, the Mamilla Mall, which is an outside mall, and we met Lourdes in one of the shops. She also was a nominal Arab Christian. So we explained to her from the scriptures that God wants to regenerate each of us who believe in Jesus with forgiveness of sins and eternal life. The Word of God is the medium by which the Holy Spirit accomplished this very thing. John 6:63. Like Hanini, Lourdes also welcomed and accepted a Hebrew Bible and Arabic gospel tract to enlighten and lead her to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. So we left there and walking past some shops of the Mamilla Mall a little later, August and I stepped in to a cell phone shop. A young, friendly, and open customer service man greeted us. He told us his name was Emmanuel. He's a Jewish man. His name is Emmanuel. You know where I'm going to go with this. If you remember, during our March 2024 outreach, we encountered a Kiosk Perfume employee selling men's cologne by the same name. Like then, as now, we told this Emmanuel that his name is one of the names for Messiah given in Isaiah 9:6. And you know the name Emmanuel means God with us. Emmanuel was amazed to hear and learn this from August and I. From that messianic prophecy, we related to Emmanuel that the Messiah, by the meaning of God with us, entails God coming in the flesh and the Messiah, whom the Berit Chadashah points to and reveals this was fulfilled in Yeshua of Nazareth. Matthew 1, 22 through 23 quotes Isaiah 9:6. And the name for, this is not a derivative name for God, but it is calling a man God in totality. That's what Isaiah 9:6 is claiming, and it was fulfilled by Yeshua in Matthew 1, 22 and 23 with his birth and incarnation. We pointed out to the receptive Emmanuel that this is one of many messianic prophecies Jesus fulfilled at his first coming. We exhorted Emmanuel to receive a free copy of the Hebrew Bible with messianic gospel tracts and literature to further prove the case Jesus is both God and Messiah come to save Israel and the world. Emmanuel was absolutely thrilled to accept these gifts pointing to Messiah Jesus, God in the flesh, and Emmanuel, God with us to save his people from their sins. Matthew 1:21. Here's what August wrote in there. He says, Emmanuel 7:14. Actually, it's Isaiah 7:14. I misspoke. It's not Isaiah 9:6. It's Isaiah 7:14. Sometimes I confuse it too, but Emmanuel, Isaiah 7:14, your name means God with us. Yeshua is also called Emmanuel. He loves you and offers eternal life. Amen. And so that was a great witness, and talk about a divine appointment, folks. Talk about a divine appointment, and that certainly was. So then moving on, this is an ambulance, by the way, that was attacked during the attack on October 7th. This was an actual ambulance shot up by the terrorists. And I got a photo of the windshield where you see the bullet holes right here. We don't know if the people inside were killed or not. But that was standing outside the Jaffa Gate into one of the gate entrances to the old city. So that was... It's still very fresh on their minds, folks, about what happened on October 7th. Still very fresh in their minds. So, as we moving along, our gospel ministry in Jerusalem the next day, November 4th, saw another effective day with divine appointments set up by the Sovereign Lord. August and I heartily thanked the Arab chef at the hotel that worked in the dining room. Naeem, N-A-E-M, was his name. Praise God, we recounted to him in detail the gospel of Jesus Christ and how it personally applies in his life for time and eternity. 1 Corinthians 15, 1-5. Naeem was... warmly received all that August and I shared with him, and he too was more than happy to receive a Bible from us with an Arabic gospel tract to know the great things Messiah has done for his salvation. So leaving there, once again, we went to the Malcha Mall in Jerusalem to cast the net of the gospel to Israeli shopping there. The Lord had us minister to Michael and Yael, Jewish owners of a jewelry and watch kiosk. When asked by them why we frequently come to Israel, our answer, of course, was to bring the good news of salvation of the Yeshua Messiah to his own ethnic people. They learned from us that Yeshua's ministry was largely confined to the people of Israel, Matthew chapters 10 and 15. Both Michael and Yael were fascinated and interested to learn further that God sending Yeshua to offer the new covenant to Israel was in keeping with the other biblical covenants. But the new covenant is the one that gives Jews and Gentiles the promise of eternal life and salvation in the ratifier of the new covenant, Yeshua the Messiah, Matthew 26, 28. To further know and accept the eternal benefits of the new covenant, we offer both Michael and Yael complete Hebrew Bibles with the New Testament, including Messianic Gospel tracts. They listened attentively and with wide smiles received these gifts of love and gratitude the Jewish people gave to the world. Michael here took his Bible and kissed it and thanked us for giving him the scriptures that included the Brit Hadashah, the New Testament. And there's Yael with the scriptures in hand. What's that? Okay, now this is an area in, this is called Ammunition Hill. And if you'll go on August Rosado's YouTube page, we did a whole new series of teachings while we're over there. Now, keep in mind, we don't do them in place of evangelism. We finish our day of evangelism, and then when time permits, we go to the different biblical sites and teach the scriptures from that location. So if you go to August Rosado's YouTube page, type in August and Todd teaching, you'll get a whole host of YouTube teachings we've done in Israel, including the, I think we did 12 this time, but this is Ammunition Hill within the city of Jerusalem. And there was a Fox article about 2 months ago that stated from the aerial view, they actually saw an oval shape configuration where they believe that was the Assyrian camp where they camped outside the ancient walls of Jerusalem before Sennacherib was going to invade. But you remember what happened. Sennacherib never invaded. Because God sent the angel of the Lord. Some think that was the pre-incarnate Jesus. Angel meaning messenger and not angelic being like Michael. And the angel of the Lord smote, it was 185,000 soldiers in one night. And in the Taylor Prism, which is a ancient cylindrical stone, artifact on which cuneiform is written, Sennacherib details his conquest, and he says that he shut up King Hezekiah in Jerusalem like a bird, but then it abruptly ends after that. He doesn't say he conquered and laid waste to Jerusalem. And we know he didn't from Isaiah 36 and 37. Sennacherib was humiliated and shocked that his troops were killed in such a massive way that he went back to Nineveh and his two sons killed him while he was worshiping in the temple of his false god. But they believe this was the area where Sennacherib and his armies camped outside the wall of Jerusalem. Today it's Ammunition Hill. This was also a key strategic point in the war of 1967, and the Jewish people defeated the Jordanians. The IDF defeated the Jordanians, and this opened up their way to go further and capture the Temple Mount. But these are some of the trenches that they, Israeli soldiers, fought in. And there's a little information on the Ammunition Hill.
All
right. So that's good on that. So, on Election Day, August and I returned to Ben Yehuda Street in the modern city of Jerusalem. As we left the hotel, we had an opportunity to share the gospel of Yeshua using an Arabic gospel tract with Shashia. He was all smiles and very receptive to learn what Yeshua did on the cross, an empty tomb to save the lost, procure the forgiveness of sins, and bring us to heaven. Shashia was utterly delighted and with joy overflowing received a free complete Hebrew study Bible from us. And so then on we went to Ben Yehuda Street, one of the most popular modern streets in Jerusalem today, Ben Yehuda Street. There the Lord guided our every step. August and I stepped into a men's dress shop where we met Yaakov, or Jacob. As we got to know him, he told us he was a former rabbi and at one time a university professor in Nova Scotia. As an academician, Yaakov amazingly told us he was quite familiar with the New Testament and went so far as to agree with us that it is very Jewish in its contents. What's even further amazing, he didn't have a copy, but he read it and included it in history classes he taught. We discussed with Yaakov the messianic claims Yeshua made, and that these were based and rooted in the messianic prophecies of the Tanakh or the Old Testament. August and I reviewed some of these prophecies with Yaakov. He was fascinated and more than open to receive a complete Hebrew study Bible and messianic gospel tracts in which this open-minded scholar can search the scriptures to see Yeshua in them and know from the old to the new, they are they which testify of him, and those who believe in this Messiah have eternal life. John 5:39. Later, walking on a side street, we noticed a sign on a shop window that stated, "The end is near. Wartime war sale." Go to that sign. Yeah. No, there. Now, for some reason, I didn't get the "end is near" part. I don't know why, but it was like over here. And then the next sign was "wartime war sale." Using that as a springboard for a gospel witness, we met the owner of the shop. He was jovial and open to our sharing Yeshua the Messiah from the Jewish scriptures with him. His name was, and this is interesting too. He lists all the nations who have tried to destroy the Jewish people. And look what happens. You remember what Zola used to say? He said the penalty of Genesis 12:3 for trying to persecute and destroy the Jewish people is annihilation. Remember when he used to say that? And this shop owner is on the same page. Civilizations, nations, and empires that have tried to destroy the Jewish people. Maybe we should put Iraq up there and Saddam Hussein. But note, the Jewish people, the smallest of nations, but with a friend in the highest of places. So be nice. All that's true. So this affable man's name was Eleazar. Now, do you know what Eleazar in English translates to? Lazarus. And don't forget also that Eleazar was the son of Abraham, the high priest, and succeeded his father in that holy office. Numbers 20:25-28. Eleazar is also the Hebrew name for Lazarus. August and I shared that Lazarus was a close friend of Jesus the Messiah. He raised Lazarus from the dead after being in the tomb for 4 days. John 11:25-44. This miracle of resurrection, we told Eleazar, was done to show Yeshua is the resurrection and the life. And those who believe in him will ultimately not die because Yeshua rose from the dead and because we believe that Yeshua rose from the dead, we told them, he will raise from the dead all those who trust in him. John 5:24-29. And that chapter in John 5, Jesus asserts his equality with God, I think in five areas. I think it's five areas. And one of them is the power to resurrect from the dead. Praise the Lord, Eleazar heard the voice of the Son of God from our gospel testimony and received a complete Hebrew Bible and Messianic study materials from August and I. And our gospel witness continues in Jerusalem. Amen. So that was a powerful witnessing encounter that we had with Eleazar. And then, of course, here's all of us blowing the shofar. I will say that Eleazar and August are adept at blowing the shofar. I can't even get one note out of it. But he wanted us to take this. Eleazar said, hey, let's take a picture of all of us blowing the shofar. This is a precursor to the rapture when we will hear the great shofar blast from heaven calling the church home. Amen. All right. Well, on November 6th, we were overjoyed, elated. We had been praying up to that time, late into the night, each night before the election, that God would have mercy on America, give us a 4-year reprieve, and He did. And when August and I found out through Greg Hartwig, Alexandria De Leon, who might be watching, we woke up, they had sent us some text saying, Donald's won, was it North Carolina? Donald's won Pennsylvania. Donald's won Michigan. And then one of you sent me Trump elected or projected to win the presidency. I told August Rosado, we jumped up and down dancing like 5-year-old children, and we hugged each other because we, this country, averted a disaster, morally speaking. And we were like children in a candy shop. So we go into the dining room, and August was walked in ahead of me. I was behind him, and August said out loud, raised his hands up and says, praise the Lord, Trump is our president, Baruch Hashem. And I was behind him going like this. Everybody was like looking at us like they didn't know how to react. Some of the Jewish people in there eating and some of the Arabs working at the hotel high-fived us and said, Trump, Trump, Trump. Amen. So on that day, before leaving our hotel, the Lord had August Rosado and I share the gospel with Hashem. It's different from the Hebrew name Hashem because we asked him. We showed him from scripture, reinforced with an Arabic gospel tract, that the Lord Jesus died to save Hashem and grant him entrance into heaven. He was all smiles and received the word of the Lord we had for him. Amen. So then we went to Hadar Mall, a small indoor mall in Jerusalem. And there we encountered Seema, a young Muslim lady working in a shoe store. Incredibly, she accepted our gospel witness for Jesus, the Son of God. Underline that, because Muslims don't believe Jesus is the Son of God. But we boldly declare that He was and was proven to be so by God raising him from the dead. We invited Seema to meet the Lord Jesus' salvation and love for her by taking a copy of the Hebrew Scriptures, and the Spirit of God opened her heart to do so. Amen. Well, following that, August and I, about half an hour later, met and ministered to two young Jewish Israeli men at a cellular phone shop. Yael, one of the two you see pictured here, listened as we said we must come to Israel to pay a spiritual debt to the chosen people for the spiritual gifts God gave to the world through them. Romans 15:27. The greatest gift from Israel to us is Yeshua the Messiah, whom Moses and the prophets foretold His coming. We offered Yael a complete Hebrew study Bible to learn of the greatest story ever told about the God-man Jesus the Messiah, in whom is redemption through His blood, eternal life, and heaven to come, either at death or the rapture of the church, according to the riches of His infinite grace, Ephesians 1:7. Yael jubilantly received our message and word of God about the Messiah that we gave him. Amen. Okay, this we did a YouTube teaching here. This is in the middle of a Orthodox neighborhood in Jerusalem. there are four entrances in which are housed the ancient tombs of the greater members of the Sanhedrin, and it dates to the first century. So I highly recommend you go to August's YouTube page and watch our teaching there. So there's a good chance that some of the very members of the Sanhedrin who concurred in their sham kangaroo trial of Jesus were buried here at one time. And on another location, there is a tomb of the lesser members of the Sanhedrin. Now, we know that material and tangible preparations for the third temple are occurring, but with that, there has to be a presiding legal religious body. They reconstituted the Sanhedrin in October of 2004. There is a room in the old city when you leave. When you leave the Western Wall and go up a certain way, it looks like a conference room, a big conference room. Every time we've tried to get into the new Sanhedrin building, it's been locked. One of these days we'll get in there and do a teaching from there showing how the new Sanhedrin reconstituted in October of 2004 with their own, building and chamber, council chamber, that is in tune to fulfill the third temple, because the Orthodox view the third temple and a reconstituted Sanhedrin as inseparable one to the other. But this is the ancient location where some of the greater members of the Sanhedrin were buried. Why do I say greater? They had more authority. And there's four entrances. So you're looking at each four of those. All right. Our final day of gospel ministry was very fruitful. We talked to Nadir, one of the upper management employees of the Dan Hotel. August and I have known him for about a decade. So this time we shared the gospel with him, detailing what Messiah Jesus did to save him. Nadir hugged us and took an Arabic gospel tract and Bible from us to explore further the marvelous Messiah of God's Word. Amen. So then we traveled out of Jerusalem and we went to the Zora region, T-Z-O-R-A, the Zora region near Beth Shemesh. More on that in a minute. And Beth Shemesh is located in the central beautiful forest of Judea, largely pine forest. The Lord led us to meet Delek, pictured here with August. When I told Delek I was from Dallas, Texas, his eyes widened and he excitedly told me he had lived in Dallas for a year or so, 25 years ago. Is that a coincidence? Well, if you think it is, then you need to repent for not believing in the sovereign, predestined plan of God in ministry. And so you know the rest of the story. This was no coincidence and proved once again an excellent opportunity for sharing the gospel of Yeshua the Messiah with him. Delek was fascinated to learn that the fulfillment fulfillment of messianic prophecy by Yeshua proves without a doubt he is the Messiah God sent to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. And like so many receptive Israelis, he gladly accepted with open hands and heart a complete Jewish Bible and messianic materials to drive home the point we made to him about Yeshua. Amen. All right, moving on. We also met and ministered to a Russian Jewish lady, Svetlana. She immigrated to Israel from far north Russia. August and I reminded her that the mass exodus of Russian Jews fulfilled and is a end-time fulfillment of Bible prophecy as foretold by Jeremiah and the prophets, Isaiah 43:6, Jeremiah 31:8, Ezekiel 34:11-13. We told Svetlana this, and we've done this with other Russian Jews we happen to have ministered to. We told Svetlana the Lord brought her back to her ancient homeland to fulfill this word in the last days and to hear the gospel of Yeshua from us and to accept a complete Hebrew Bible to learn about Messiah Yeshua who came and is coming again. Svetlana was overjoyed. And she too received the word of the Lord from us. Lastly, we also brought the comfort and assurance in the gospel to Mona upon our return to the hotel. She was an Arab Christian. Oh yes, this is Beth Shemesh. Now, why is this significant? Well, in the Bible, I think it's 1 Samuel 6. This is where the Philistines return the Ark of the Covenant to the Israelis because 17 of the Philistine cities, wherever the Ark, wherever they took the Ark, because they won the Ark from the Israelis in battle, 1 Samuel 4. They returned the Ark because they were getting hemorrhoids, among other things. And they returned the Ark here in Beth Shemesh. Some of the Jewish inhabitants of Beth Shemesh unwisely put the Ark on a cart. Not good. And we teach here why that's significant. You know, the carnal man would look at that and say, God struck the Jewish people down of Beth Shemesh, some of them, because they put it on a cart. Well, that's really unfair. No, because God has specific instructions how you are to approach Him and worship Him. Amen? The ark, as you know, was to be carried by the Levites on poles, not on a cart. And when we try to come to God on our own terms and worship Him according to what we deem best, then we are worshiping a false God, because God must be worshiped in spirit and in truth, John 4. So we did a teaching at ancient Beth Shemesh. The ruins are there. And we did a YouTube teaching there if you want to see it. It's on a hill, by the way, the ruins that you see here outside of Jerusalem. And then we, Mona enters into the picture because when we parked on Zion, there was a parking lot. You used to not have to pay for parking. And I have a parking app that I use in Israel. It wasn't working, so we went ahead and parked. And then, of course, I come out, and I'm the only one among all the cars in there. There was hardly any parking left to get a ticket. So she helped us go to the municipal website. She knew Hebrew, and we paid it off. So for her troubles, we brought the comfort and assurance in the gospel to Mona upon our return at the hotel. She was an Arab Christian who also eagerly accepted a copy of God's word from us. Amen. So all these people that we've talked about and discussed, keep them in constant prayer that the seed of God's word that we planted, in some cases watered seed and replanted that others watered before us, that it will bear fruit, leading to repentant faith in Jesus Christ for salvation. So from start to finish, once again, God powerfully worked in us to beseech all of Israel to look unto the Lord Jesus to be saved and reconciled to God during this time of suffering and more, just as God commands in Isaiah 45:22. He says, look unto me, all ye nations of the world, and be saved, starting with Israel. And then in 2 Corinthians 5:20, Paul says, like we followed Paul's words there, beseeching everyone to be reconciled to God. And how is one reconciled to God? Through His Son, Jesus Christ. Because as Paul says in the same chapter, God was in Messiah reconciling the world unto Himself. And so this concludes our 56th Gospel Outreach to Israel presentation. And let me just say again, folks, we couldn't have done this without your faithful and ongoing support. And we need your support so that we can continue our first outreach for the year 2025. Lord willing, will be in March, March 24th through April 6th. Please help us be a partner of this ministry. And God has promised that He will give you the blessings of Abraham, Genesis 1 through 12, 1 through 3. And We thank you for doing that. If you do want to support us, click on that donate link, and it will take you to our secure donation page, and you can make a tax-deductible donation here. This is our last night. This is overlooking the city of Jerusalem. There's the Golden Dome of the Rock, where once stood the two temples of Judaism, both Solomon's Temple and Herod's Temple. And as we were leaving, the night we were leaving, because the Christian world is struck with fear, they did not come to Israel because it's not safe. And this is what you have in the airport. A total ghost town. I've never seen this before quite like that. Okay, well, we thank you for once again. And let me say, I've said this before, when we were preparing to go over there, and when we went over there, not for one second, as God is my witness, were we afraid or cowering, thinking that we were in great danger. Even in a time of war in Israel, you're safer there for the most part than you are in the United States. And I downloaded a missile alert app called SOFAR, T-S-O-F-A-R. And it will sound every time there's dangers of missiles being fired in whatever particular location in Israel. And it was going off before I left, mainly in the northern border between Lebanon and Israel and northern Galilee to the Galilee region. Right? It was going off all that. Well, we were scheduled to go to Galilee, and we went. And on that day, for 4 days, guess what, folks? We did not hear. My alarm did not go off for those areas like it had prior to our going over there. And we did not hear throughout the entire stay in Israel, we did not hear, not even once, a missile siren alert going off. And then when we left the Galilee, after being 4 days there with no alert going off on my phone, guess what happened? From the day we left the Galilee up until a few days ago, I was getting missile alerts on my phone constantly for the northern, northeastern area and of the Israel and the Lebanon border and the northern Galilee and Galilee area. So that's not coincidence. That's God's supernatural protection while we were in those locations. And I'll end it by saying this. God promises. It's a general promise. I mean, sometimes God does call you to suffer and die for his sake, but in this instance, that wasn't it at all. He protected us because Psalm 91 promises immunity, safety, protection, and preservation for those who follow or abide in the Most High God. And Psalm 91:5 says this, you shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day. That word in the Hebrew for arrow is chemetz, and it can be translated, go to an old Hebrew lexicon, that word arrow can also be translated missile or projectile. So that verse, that promise God kept and fulfilled during our outreach in Israel. Not one missile siren went off in any location we were at, even though they were before we got there. They stopped while we were there, and then when we left, they resumed again. So that's not coincidence. That's a supernatural protection of God guiding our steps. So again, we thank you for tuning in tonight and listening to us. We will not be here next Friday. There will be no broadcast of Shalom Shalom next Friday because the church is closed for the Thanksgiving holiday that will fall on Thursday. But we will be back in 2 weeks from now, and I hope to start then our new verse-by-verse study in the prophet Jeremiah. That's going to be a long study. It will be called Journeying in Jeremiah. And we'll probably do a few lessons on the historical background and context of Jeremiah, the author, the date, the themes, different reigns of the kings of Judah that Jeremiah prophesied to and under. And so we look forward to doing that. Well, Until next time, Shalom, Yeshua HaMashiach Alechem. May the peace of Jesus, the Messiah, be with you.